Anya, that the Maral explains why it's called Lechem Oinim.
Yesh Lishol, Loma Nikra Matz Lechem Oinim. Why is matzah called lechem oini? Hare efshe shinoi kematzah shleima al pidin, you're allowed to make the matzah as nice as you want. Hashemanikas a matzah lechem oini. So he brings here some information that say it's the Abarinel, that because matzah was very, very difficult to digest, therefore they used to feed it to the slaves so that they would, you saved on food, because they didn't have to eat too long. You gave them matzah one meal and they didn't come back for another three meals. So that's appears to be about Abarnel, and he asks Akasha that it's, it doesn't say any place and so on. He doesn't like the Pirish. To the next page. Omnam Pirish Adavah. The word oini here means the opposite of ashira. That it's not only the matzah that was given when they were in Mitzrayim as anim avodim, but it's the opposite of matzah ashira. Shekasheish po shem l'dvash nikras ashira, kadova ze mashe alechem. When it has anything that has added condiments like oil, honey, and so on is called rich matzah. V'zeh, the reason is ki ha'oni, it's not the pshat that an oni can't afford to have matzah with raisins in it. It means v'zeh ki ha'oni she'ein le ela atzmoi ve'ein le momen rak atzmoi v'gufoi. An oni is someone that possesses only his self. That's what an oni is. So therefore, Ani means someone whose existence is down to the basics of his existence. There's nothing added on to his atzmius. Therefore, the hamatzah gam kein kasha ein barak etzem ha'isa, when matzah possesses only what's needed to be called bread, sha'atzmus ha'isu ha'mayim v'kemach, v'zeo atzmus ha'isa, v'zeo v'lechem ha'ini. If there would be anything in it like chametz, like seoyer, it's the pshat, this bread with seoyer to it. Anything that can be added is called ashirus. So anirus is that which is the thing itself. It's nothing but the etzem tzius, and ashirus is something that's added to etzem tzius. Zehu yoyse ashem in matz ashira. So now he's bothered by a problem. If so why is it that matzah ashira is muta? It's just that you're not yoytzi dechavosei. It's masha'ein kein se'oir. It's that's the isakaris. So he says ki matzah ashira b'shvil sheyesh b'mashke ze ashira shalom. It's the other way around. Matzah ashira is only ashira because it has it as an added outside of itself. You have the bread, you have the dough, and you have raisins plumped in, you have sugar plumped in. So that's not really, that shirus is not, it hasn't crept into the matzah. Va'omnom isa sheyesh b'sa'ir chometz yotze yoisa min yematzah sheyesh b'gufa isa chometz. Since the ashirus crept into the matzah itself, it's much more ashirus because since you baked it in a way that the add-on is a part and parcel of it, in a sense it's more of an ashir than the, for instance, if a person builds a building that's like this building here and he coats it with gold leaf on the outside, so that's one dag of ashirus. But if somebody pours the foundations of a very expensive metal, so that it's more ashirus because the ashirus is part and parcel of it. It's not something that's added on from the outside. So when you're talking where ashirus means something having to exist and something more than itself, then if the ashirus becomes intrinsic to it, it's worse of an ashirus or more of an ashirus than something which just slapped onto the top. So things like eggs or honey or any other thing, the ashirus is slapped on because the bread is the flour and the water, like we learned in the Ketzim Varchim, that the isa itself is the isa. The other things are slapped on. Seoir is a process that you add the chimutz. The chimutz is something that the bread did not need, but once you baked it in and it became part of itself, it became a matzah shira be'etzem. So in a way it's worse because its very existence is not very essential, but its existence is essential plus something. Yeah?
Isn't when you make a matzah with
Yeah. True, but the juice is kilu. It has besides the water, the fluid of it. It's the sweetness that gives it the shem ashirus. So that is something that could have been outside of it. The soir means that the bread becomes flour isa with chimutz in it. The sugar is always kilu a side thing. It's an added flavor. When you bake bread with chimutz, the chimutz is something that gives it a shem isa. I think that's what he means. Okay, but what's the explanation? So why is matzah only keneged cheres? I mean, it's supposed to be keneged anius. So only is not a good thing. For ula yikshel lachom ma inyan hanius ala cheres, but le shnei afechem acheres hanius. How is freedom and anius? Anius is something bad. It's poverty. It's not a good thing. So how is cheres, which is a positive thing, is symbolized by anius? Well, I dovaze ein kasha. Ki hanius be'atzmai hayro al hageula, she'ein inyan hageula rak sheyotze ve'ein lo shem tziruf al zlosei. The musig of shibud is not the hardship of slavery. There's a hardship of slavery. He says later, the Goyen said the same thing. There was three madregas in Mitzrayim. There was the shibud. There was ger be'eretz lelahem. There's the shibud and the oini. Being an Eved is not the hardship of Avdus. That's not the Etzem Avdus. The Etzem Avdus is that the person's existence is not confined to his own self. An Eved does not have his own existence. His existence is as part of the Odin. He's not a something, he's mitzuref to something else in the Maral's Lashon. He exists like an Uber exists in a mother. An Eved exists as part of the Odin's extended self, and therefore he doesn't have any self. The same thing is true. The Shibud means anything that a person is needed, anything that a person needs that is really not his self makes him a Meshubit. For instance, if a person is hooked on smoking, so the person's, it does not exist in his own right. He exists with a cigarette together. It's something that is, the shibud means that the person's existence rests on something other than himself. I remember I once had that feeling. I used to have a chavrusa in Eretz Yisrael before I came here. For many years we learned afayim in the morning. Your doctor lived upstairs, so we used to come down early before davening, and we used to drink a coffee. On a tainis, we didn't drink a coffee. So I told him once, you know, take a look, and somebody who's used to drinking coffee just doesn't feel good without it. So I told him on one tainis morning, I said, take a look how small a person is. 100 cc of coffee determines if you're a human being or not. The whole person is not a person if he's missing the glass of coffee. The person's mitzius becomes a mitzius that's attached to something else. And therefore there is no self, because his self is with something else also. So anything that has ashirus means that his mitzius rests on something else. A person who has a car, for instance. So on the one hand, you can look at the ashirus. If somebody says, well, he has a lot of opportunities, he can go much further without a car, go much quicker. It's true. But if the person is mishubit to the car, that means that he can't walk anymore. So it's not the pshat that he might have gained something, but he's lost his atzmius in the sense that he's meshubit. So not what the Maral saying here, we'll see later, because he has the second pshat. The etzem mitzius of geula is the breaking off from the things that a person is meshubit to, and anything that a person has a tziruf to that is not himself, he breaks away from it. Lechem is especially because bread is ki'ilu the chiyus of a person. Bread is that which a person kilei lechem levad yichyodam, but that means the havmin is that lechem is as far as the chumis goes. So on Pesach, the person's very bread, which is ki'ilu his chiyus, is something that exists within itself without need to recourse to something else. Something which has a nius, the ainly kinyan, that's where you have geula. Geula means the separation of something to those things that he's tied to. If bread were to symbolize people that are bnei chayrin, so the morale is saying over here that there are two phases. There is geula and there's bnei chayrin. And this is the marshal like somebody with a car. Somebody who has a car and his matzav is that he can't live without the car, so he's a meshubet. So the act of geula would be where the person throws away the car and he learns to exist on his own right. A person who is be'etzem ben chayrin, his metzias is he can walk and go any place and he goes any place and he uses a car as an extension, then it's a maila. So lechem oini is not connected the matziv of bnei chayrin, which is once the person is a free person, he can make use of different tools, but it's the ma'aseh geula. That's this pshat, which is not like the next pshat. But this pshat is that the matziv is connected the geula and not connected bnei chayrin. It's the very act of breaking free. The act of becoming free is when a person is no longer a Siamese twin with anything else. And that's why lechem oini is not connected the matzav of cheirus, but it's connected the ma'aseh geula. It's lechem oini is just bread and nothing else. And that's how the person, when a person shtol zechtzu, when a person becomes that way, that's how he has geula. And that's the inyan l'mashal in when it says by kapara, by averis, it says shuve like igalticha. The first is come back to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I've redeemed you, I've set you free. It refers to geula in the sense that a person who's enmeshed in avera, besides the ma'aseh avera that he did, and besides the pgam to his nefesh, there's always the slavery that a person becomes dependent on it. An avera is something the person should have been without. So besides the harmful effect of avera, there's also the fact that the person has a dependency on it. So part of tshuva, the element of geula in tshuva is that a person frees himself from a dependency on things that are not himself. Mitzvahs are a real realization of a person. So if a person becomes, for instance, if a person dedicates his life to goodness, to kindness, to justice, and he can't bear to be without it, when he sees situations of injustice and cruelty, he can't live with it and he dies of heartache. So someone's going to come and say to him, you know, you're burdened by these feelings of goodness and kindness. Maybe I could do something to relieve you, and then you'll be freer. So we don't see it that way because we understand that that is supposed to be the atzmis of the person. So in mitzvahs, when a person becomes dependent on mitzvahs, it's because that's his real self. It's like you're dependent on breathing because that's your mitzvahs. And averus, it's a dependency on something that's not you. It's a shibut to some outside factor. That's what's called sitra achra. And therefore, there's an inyan geula and tshuva is also that type of thing where the person breaks free from the shackles. Part of tshuva is, besides the kapar from Kadosh Baruch Hu, it allows a person not to be dependent on it. Then he says another piece. And that's why the geula was in Nisan, which is the first month. In all the months in the Torah are not called by the names, like it says in Chazal, that the names were only in Bavel. The months in the Torah are called by the numbers. And again, I'll repeat myself because I never know who was here last year, the other years. We've said a few times, by the Maral, numbers are all significant in the sense, each number has a personality. It's not only a way of counting things, but each number has a certain character to it. For instance, one is like a Kershbok was one and that's it. Two always represents things that are split and by definition, are in dispute. Two things. On the second day was when the Rakia came and split Al-Yoyim Tachtoinim. Three is always something that has a kiyum, a chizuk, it's shleishe chuta mishul's mele yinotek, and so on, and so on and so forth. Each number has a certain character to it. When the Torah lists the months, the Maral explains each one, there's a reason why Shavuos is in the third month. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Reisetli saw, Biyarchetli saw, in Laamtli saw, everything was threes in Matan Torah. The Maral explains it. There's a reason why Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot is on the seventh month. Each month, the numbers have a certain character themselves, and whatever is associated with that number has that element, that character. The first, Geula means that which is totally independent and does not need to recourse anything else. In other words, you cannot have a second without there having been a first. You cannot have a third without it being the first two. So no number has an independent existence except for one. So the second month, the third month, the fourth month has a character that's dependent on what came before it. When I say this is the third step in the process, that means that this step is not an independent step. It's part of a process, and it's dependent on two steps before. The first step is always something which is independent by its nature. It did not need anything to come before it. There's a very beautiful, the Sochet Shabbos says, when Yaakov Avinu was looking to give, he took away the Bechayr from Reuven, because Pachas Kamayim. So he dumped it on Yosef. He said, you know, Bechayrechav son. So yes, well, why did he skip? So Mela Shimon and Levi, we can understand that Shimon and Levi are, he also had some tainus. But you have Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, you have a long line until Yosef. Why did he move the Bechayr to Yosef? So the Sochet explains that Bechayr, meaning the firstborn, is not just a mikra, you know, the teichen of a firstborn is that his role is independent of everyone else. The second, third, fourth, and fifth child, like the Maral says, are a hemshach of something that was there before. He said the midah of bechayra is, the mos of bechayra is that which is not dependent on the others. The first one to do something, the difference between the one who invents something to the 100 other people is that the inventor does not rest on anyone else, and everyone else rests on that which was there before. So if he's looking for bechayra, Yosef, because he was a Mitzrayim himself and stayed the way he was, so that means that Yosef's Metzias is independent of the other brothers. So if you're looking to give over Bechayra, it's not a question, the third is not more of a Bechayra than the seventh. You're not looking for numbers who happen to come first in the world afterwards. You're talking about the Teichen of Bechayra is the one whose Metzias is his own, and he's not someone whose Metzias is because he's following a crowd, because he's going after somebody. So B'mele, he says, the Chodesh HaRishon is the Chodesh of Gula, because that is the Maos of Gula. Two means that it's connected to something else. So that's not the right time for Geula when you're supposed to stand by yourself. Klala Davi says, Geula means divorcing yourself from anything else and standing in your own right. And it's not attached to anything else. The first month is the right month for it. Ki hadover shenishave, anything that came into being, misyaches elazman shenas boisavayev. And this is another one of the Maral's Yisoidus that he says in quite a few places, that every event, every major event that occurs in a time that's appropriate for it. It's not just a mikra that Chanukah came out of Hei Kislev. You're talking about a major event that's worthy of celebrating year after year, thousands of years. So that means that Chanukah is something that was a process that became one of the pillars of creation. So Chafei Kislev must be a time that this was the right time for this year's gala. The same thing Shavuos, and the same thing, and so on. So the time frame for Yetzias Mitzrayim was it was Chodesh Rishon, because that's the right time. Ulefikach hazman shehu Rishon beim bechiba v'tziruf zman miyuchad legula. Shagul yishaniv zulasin shuv tziruf zulasin. V'zeh, he says, v'zeh mizeh tovin kakosuv ukipshutoi. Shivas yom teichel of matzis lechem oini ki bechipos niyotzos Mitzrayim. Now the Maral is explaining that the havon of the pasuk ki bechipos niyotzos Mitzrayim is really a real tam for matzah be'etzim. It's not just b'mikra that you didn't have a chance to. Why? Pirish sheteichel lechem oini shu alechem ha'oimid be'atzmoi ve'ein lehitzarfus al zulosei v'loma teichel ze alechem ki bechipos niyotzos Mitzrayim. The Indian achipaz no mehirus veim beikav emshasma. Someone else has a very big insight here and a very important insight. Chipazn does not mean quickly. It does not mean hastily or quickly. That's not the right. It's certainly not the right taich. Even grammatically, it's the wrong. The real taich for chipazin is closer to impulsively rather than quickly. When somebody acts b'chipazin, like it says pachas kamayim al teisar, we don't mean to say the person acted quickly. That would be the lashon vayizaris. Vayizaris is chanichov. Vayizaris means to go quickly, to go without wasting time. Chipazin is usually a bad. It has a derogatory connotation. It means to do something impulsively without forethought. So, but in our case, chipazin is a maila. When something is done as a result of a thought process, it means that it's dependent on some prior situation. If something is thought out carefully, the act is always the result of a few steps. When something is done impulsively, it means it didn't come, it came like this. The thought struck the person and he did it. So the chipazon in Yetzias Mitzrayim means that Yetzias Mitzrayim was something that happened without a, it didn't go with a step-by-step process. Reb Tzadik says in Sitka Tzadik, he says that the every act, normally chipazon is a very bad midah. The chipazon is a midah that gets people into trouble, as anybody who's done things by chipazon knows. And most of Musar is about making cheshbon nefesh and not running headlong into something and thinking about something and so on. There's one exception. The Maral says that every beginning is with a chipazon. When a person does tshuva, there's always an act of chipazon in the doing tshuva, and we're talking about a radical turnabout. It's almost a tautology. If a person does something because he thought about it before and it's pre-planned, so it's not a new act. It's a continuation was there before. A person does not do something radically new when he thinks about it beforehand. There's a process, and A led to B, led to C. Sometimes the last result might be a 180-degree turn, but it's a step-by-step process. This forced him to consider this, this forced him to consider this, forced him to consider this. If a person wants to snap off from what he did before, the person cannot do it unless there's an act of chipazon. A person can think a lot about doing something, but if a person wants to make a radical change, the act of change itself is usually a jump. And he said, so every beginning, by definition, it's not a beginning if it's bechipazon, if it's not bechipazon. So in the process of a person changing himself, a person who's changed himself, there was always a first step where he did something rash, unpredictable. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to have a story, which Reb Chaim always liked to present paradoxes. It was very, very much part of the in a shir on a shmuz. Both of them, he would say a svara and show that it's paradoxical and say, I understand that you don't. That was very the way. But he once said over a maisa, I don't remember with who he said it. I don't know if he said a name. He said there was somebody, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, who explained how he got that way. He said he was learning in Volozhny Yeshiva, and he was sitting and eating, and someone asked him a simple shaila. And the person could not, and he didn't know the answer. And the other person said, it's Forsha Taisvis. So he got terribly, terribly upset. He picked himself up in the middle of the meal, ran away to a town a few miles away from Volozhin, sat and learned for 7-8 years without any disturbance, just in the Beis Medrash, and he grew to be the tremendous Talmid Chacham. So Reb Chaim, so he left without benching. So Reb Chaim asked, was he allowed to leave without benching? Certainly not. Had he stayed around to bench, would he have become that big person? Certainly not. So you'll ask me, what? But the point was that when a person is gradually evolving, so if things go slowly, methodically, step by step, and that's the right mahalach. When a person has to undergo some radical change, so there always has to be a snap, it always has to be a beginning. There has to be a nekud of reishis over there. And if the act is not bechipazin, it's not a reishis tika act. So b'meila, he's saying that the bechipazin, Yatzas Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael did not evolve out of Mitzrayim. They were shakua memta sharetuma, they were completely lost. It wasn't a process where they sat and thought about the meaning of Klal Yisrael and slowly changed. It was a break with that's what a chipazin is. Chipazin means a sudden snap break. And it had bad effects. The same way, like, that's why Sefiras HaOmer is accounting, because Sefiras HaOmer is a process. When you've done the first step rashly, you have to start. Rash things are good for breaking through, but then you have to start building something. You can't build things by impulsive activities. So the first step is always an impulse, because it has to be aschala. Also, would not be the first. The continuation has to be methodical, thought out, and well planned. So the chipazon is the very first ma'ase. V'inyan chipazon mihirus ve'ein b'iku v'emshach zman. Ki keshem sheyotzu b'chodesh rishon mipnei sheroi chodesh rishon al geula dafke mitamesh esboya. The going out the first month is because the first month is not connected to anything before. Ke'ein geula rak hashein kan tziruf v'chodesh rishon shu rishon v'lehoye kan chibo v'tziruf chadashim v'kach roi sheleti ha'geula b'iku zman. Rak bizman arishon mibli amshocha ve'iko ve'metziruf klal. The same way the etzem ma'isigula cannot be a process. Anything that takes time is of a process. Here it happened instantly. Shekol rishon mesiach sal geula loichi bizman shazen shach legula. Every first is always the appropriate point for gula, because it does not, it's not attached to anything else. Shetzorech ala geula histalkus atzir v'chibah. For geula, a person needs to break away from being attached to anything else. Ulefikach adav ze barak hashetav nirichah. So that's his first mahalach in understanding why lechem oini, and he says it's connected, not connected the matzav of being a ben chayrin, but connected the matzav of geula. And the matzav of geula, the point of geula, the ma'ase geula is always a snapping off from what was there, from any tzir that was there before, and therefore it's b'chodesh rishon, and therefore it's b'chipazon, it's without any sense of hemshich. Okay, we'll hold it. Tomorrow we'll go back.